Once again, we want to share from God's word what he has laid on our hearts. I would like to turn to two verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we doth judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for our sins and rose again. Chapter 8 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wilt of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trials of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first give their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. If I should use a theme this morning, I'm going to use, am I Christ-centered? Am I Christ-centered? There is two things that happen to us. It's either I am self-centered or I am Christ-centered. There is no middle ground. You know, sometimes we have drive reverse and neutral. But you find in Christianity, it's either you're making progress or self comes to light. These verses that we read emphasizes a fact that I need to look at Scripture and realize Scripture speaks. It speaks to me. It speaks to my conscience, my soul, my heart. If I look at, I think I shared with you once, a save a guy from drowning. And he dove into a pool and it was too deep for him. And I look and saw him struggling to come up. Bring him up. And I tell you, we became good friends after that. Very good friends. Now think about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus. Think about what he has done for us. Think about what I should do. It's not, I am not saved to live a couple of years. That young man who was drowning, you know, he's still alive. But the fact is, he might live 70. He might live 90, but he's going to die. But to think of the death of the Lord Jesus, having given his life that we might have life and have it more abundantly, that we are brought in and recognize and realize that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become it new. When you realize, when you accept Christ, you have eternal life. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, he said to his disciples. But rejoice because your name are written in heaven. My name is written. I tell you, when I came to know that, rejoice. God wrote. Well, I don't know if it's Brian Baptiste, because we'll have a new name. But I tell you this, my name is in heaven. So now, in light of what Christ has done, I need to judge. I need to bring that before me. And realize one died for all. Then we are all dead. And we who are alive should not live unto ourselves, but unto him that died for our sins and rose again. No, this is a Christ-centered life. When you get into the chapter 8, in chapter 8, it was a very poor area. And now these assemblies in Macedonia recognized there were poor brethren in Jerusalem. And they decided to put a collection for this meeting, for these meetings for the saints in Jerusalem. And you know what they did? Out of their deep poverty, after they pay the rent, they pay the mortgage, they pay the lights bill and what's not, they had a little extra. And they decided, what are we going to do with this? Poor individuals. And they says, you know what? We are going to send it to the needy saints. And the Apostle Paul now says, no, don't do that. No. But they begged the Apostle Paul to take this for the poor. We want this for the poor. We want you to take it to the saints in Jerusalem. And he says, you know what they did? They first gave themselves to the Lord and to us. I tell you, it's a wonderful picture of how a Christian's supposed to be. You give yourself first to the Lord. You know, I go many times to Moldova. It's one of the poorest country in Eastern Europe. And one trip we made, the saints give me $600. So I said, what is for? He says, for the poor brethren in Africa. I almost give them back the money. But the brother says, brother, be very careful. These brethren are looking at the needs of others and not only theirs. Out of their deep poverty, they give themselves. I want to take you on a track of what it means to give yourself to the Lord. And what it means to stand up for Christ now. Commitment to Christ. And living for him. And this is the challenge we have. You know, it is said of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was preaching. And a man asked him, did anybody got saved tonight? He says, yeah, 2.5. The man said, 2.5? What do you mean 2.5? He says, 2 young persons and an old man. She says, why? Why 2.5? He says, because the older man have lived half of his life already. And the other half is borrowed time. But the young person have all the life before them. And you have to look at life this way. I have been on this road a while. Brother Dennis, Brother Fred, indeed, and let me stop calling him. Thompson. We have been on this road a while. But we can tell you, if you have to choose a path, choose the path with Christ. You will never, never regret it. So these individuals, though they were poor, they recognized that one died for them. They recognized their lives were not their own. Their lives now were committed to Christ and the cause of Christ. And this is the path that God has given to us. I'm going to turn to some scriptures because I don't think I will finish. We have 15 minutes gone already. No, let's go to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 9. Judges chapter 9, this is the first parable in the Bible. Okay, the first parable in the Bible. In verse 7, he's given us a parable and talking about the trees of the forest. Okay? But it's really the children of Israel, as it were, looking for a king. And they choose a bad king. But look what happened in verse 7. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood at the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees of the forest the trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness? That's the word. We are going to check out every one of these. Should I leave my fatness? Wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go and be promoted over thee. And the tree said unto the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go and be promoted over thee? And then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which share the heart, share God and man, and go and be promoted over thee? Then said the trees unto the bramble bush, come thou and reign over us. I just want to spend some time with these three trees. The first one, they came and they says to the trees, come thou and reign over us. The fig tree, he says in verse 9, and the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness? No. Here it is. Leaving the place where God has given to us. Having the knowledge that my life is what it is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he has done. And they come to Mr. Olive and say, listen, come and reign over us. It's difficult, brethren, in the world in which we live. We are living in US of A. And the thing that grips us is this. Many things are handed out for us. Look at Mr. the man who owned Amazon. Elon Musk. These are men are multimillionaires. And you ask yourself, what is my pursuit? What do I want in life? Do you know there are men who have given up this world? Think of Moses. Moses was learnt in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Moses was next in line to be Pharaoh. But Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses indeed turned his back upon Egypt. Moses says, I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses says, I rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. I have known, indeed, individuals who were men of means and hung out a carrot and said to Christians, listen, you could make it in this world. You could make it. And the danger is God sometimes puts us in high places to see if we'll give it up to him or take on what men wants us. Great men. I know of a chap who went to an individual and said to him, listen, we could make money. We could make money. He says, yeah. When he laid it out, he says, could I talk to the Lord Jesus about it? He said, what talk about Jesus they're talking about? Listen, we're talking about money. We're talking about this life. We're talking about living here and now. And I tell you, as you go through life, young people, it is going to hit you. It's either Christ or this world. It's either indeed what you want or what Christ wants. It must come to that. But this olive tree, look at his place and says, I am not leaving my fatness. There was a brother, I'm telling, in our meeting. He was number one, graduated university, honored. And they tell him any school you want to go to. Anyone. He says, you have to be something in this world. And he struggled. He came to a point, he says, he read a book. And it says, for which world? This world or the world to come? Many Christians, I'm telling you, have made shipwrecked because of this world. Young people, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. All that is in this world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And this world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father will abide forever. Should I give up? Should I give up Christ for this? That's the question, you know. Should I give up Christ? Indeed, to pursue. Could go after. My wife could tell you. We know of young brothers and sisters. My kids went to university. Yeah? So, I have nothing against university. But there is where we get blows, buddy. There is where, indeed, they try to knock the socks off of us, of our children. And says, you really believe in that? And the professor will come with his ungodliness. And if you don't, if you are not like this olive, should I give this up? We know. My son is back there. He had a friend. Back in the islands, he was Christian, real Christian. He came to university in North Carolina. Give it up. A young man became a doctor. He said, you still believe in that? You still believe Jesus died for your sins according to the scriptures? You believe Jesus rose again from the dead? Listen. This is the challenge we have today. The challenge is that am I ready to stand for Christ against the odds? Moses says, listen, I am giving up Egypt. And it's very few Christians could have the language of Moses. I will endure. I've seen him who is invisible. Now, Olive, hear what he says. He says, I honor God and man. The oil of the olive was used to anoint prophet, priest, and king. Look what I am used for. Man, David was anointed. Aaron was anointed. Not only so, Elisha was anointed. Indeed, Jehu was anointed. And he says, wow, Look at what I am doing. No, it is only seen by God. One job. And it's like that. You know, when you come to a point in your life, you have to ask why I am here. Why you are here. I'm not talking about in Clark. I'm talking about why God saved you. What is the purpose? He wants you to be a blessing to God and to man. When Mr. Olive says, I'm not coming, they went to Mr. Fig. And the tree said unto the fig tree, come down and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, again, should I leave my sweetness and my goods and my good fruit and go and be promoted over the trees? Mr. Fig said, you could imagine. Listen, this Christian life is a wonderful life. Okay? Wonderful. In spite of what people may think and the humdrum people paint, there is no other life on earth to live like a Christian life. I tell you. The psalmist says in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I tell you, when you come to know Christ and really get intimate with him, you don't want to give that up. They tried to beat it out of the Apostle Paul. They tried to stone it out of him. They tried to put John on the Isle of Patmos. Indeed, in spite of what they did, you know what the Apostle Paul said? In light afflictions, working an eternal weight of glory. The Apostle Peter tells us, he says, I count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. For why? The trying of our faith is more precious than that of gold perisheth. Though it be tried by fire, it shall come forth to the praise and honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just stand up for Christ and you start going through some trying times for him. I tell you, there's a joy the Lord gives that surpasses any joy this world could give. When you stand for Christ, he says, I am going to stand for you. You deny me, I will deny you. And this is the part of Christianity. This is not saying I need to fight to be saved. No. Saving grace is I believe that Jesus died for my sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again. I accepted Christ as my savior. I came to know him. And I tell you, it has been the happiest days in my life. But after I got saved, was some of the roughest days in my life. Father put me out the house. Said, boy, you can't stay here. You cannot. But I tell you this. God always have a 2 or 3 or 4 steps ahead of the devil. What do you think happened? Why my brother asked me to come and stay with him. I had my own room. You know, and I stayed with him about 3 years. God prepared even before my father put me out. And the thing is this, it was happy times. Happy times. We got locked up preaching on the streets of New York. First time I went out in the open air. Indeed, there was a pub down the street and the police didn't like the message. And they sent and locked us up, Brother Shea, Brother Freddie Nichols and myself. I was shaking like a leaf, saints. I was scared. And I says, what I'll tell my father? I said to Brother Shane, what I'll tell my father? Yeah? And Brother Nichols, you know, a short brother, we had a lot of fire. And we sat sitting down on the bench. And the sergeant says, come here. And he looked Freddie so short and Freddie there. And he looking up at the sergeant. He says, I have to give you a summons to come to the court. Cause you all were preaching there. We had the flag, we had the permit, we had everything. I tell you, Freddie says, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? People get burned to the stakes and thrown to the lions, and you telling me about the summons. And I say, oh God, Freddie, please. I was afraid. But I tell you, After Freddie with this boldness, the sergeant says, just get out of the prison. Get through the door. I was so happy. God, indeed, why is being going to jail? But you know what that did? That cemented something in me. That cemented something in me. There's a price you have to pay to live for Christ. And if you ain't ready to make that stand, you are not ready yet. No, even when, so imagine this fig saying, you think I am going to leave this sweetness, this wonderful place, and indeed come and live that kind of life? No, I'm not going to do that. Conviction, commitment to Christ. That's what it is. What will you do if someone come to you? You know, everybody believe their pay is short. I should get more money than this. Yeah. Even those in the days of John the Baptist. John the Baptist says, listen, you know, be satisfied with your wages. Everybody believe the boss is robbing them. I should get a little bit more. Hey, listen. God knows. God know how much you need. And we fight to grow up the corporate ladder. And sometimes you have to say, is God taking me up there? And saying this is true. A brother became the controller in a certain island. When he got the job, I said to him, please, remember this. Promotion is from the Lord. You will be tested. This job will try to control you. Because we believe if we are not there, the job will fall apart. That's not true. The moment you drop the ground, they find somebody else. What they do? They make you feel, listen, you've taken this. You couldn't find that brother for months. For months. He was making money. But Christ. Come reign over us. We will treat you well. We'll treat you well. Disappear. Then they came to the vine. Now vine share the heart of God and man. Good glass of wine. Oh, I tell you, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Don't let nobody rob you of the joy of the Lord. Don't let something come in and says, listen, this is where your joy lies. Your joy lies in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. The apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, indeed, listen, he says, I rejoice because you are fellowshipping with me in the gospel. He rejoice indeed that Christ is priest. Christ, priest, Christ. Some preach Christ for envy. Some preach Christ for gain. But I rejoice that Christ is preached. And then he tells us, finally above it all, rejoice in the Lord. Commit yourself to Christ. Now you ask young people, hey, you breaking bread yet? No, I ain't make up my mind. Hey, it's not a mind matter, it's a heart matter. Okay? It's a heart matter. It's not if I make up my mind yet. When I make up my mind, I get ready. No, it's the heart. It's an affection thing. Indeed, if try to make up your heart and not your mind. Indeed, when your heart is touched, these men's heart was touched. Indeed, and we are talking about men. The principle is there. In other words, what are the principles that are governing your life? Are you going to say, I am going to stick with Christ? I am going in spite of the odds. And even, indeed, some things has been given to me. I govern it completely by how it will affect my life. Can I anoint man? Can I be used of God? Secondly, can I bring joy to the heart of God? Thirdly, indeed, can I minister to the joy of God? And the apostle Paul, indeed, that's why he says at the His life. Listen, I fought the good fight. How much people tried to get me off of this path of obedience? I was beaten. I was shipwrecked. I was stoned. Indeed, all these things happened unto me. But he says, I want to continue because of your furtherance of your joy. That is what it is. Your joy is important to God. Your stability is important to Christ. And all it is, God is saying to you and I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto me, which is a reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Everything that is before you, don't believe it's from God. The devil came to Jesus and said, see all this. You just bow down and worship me. It will be yours. I tell you, most men will jump for that. This is yours. To give up this world for another world, you must see Christ. Else this world will govern your affections. Since my time is gone, we have another half, and I'll finish. Since I want to apologize because I said Judges chapter 7, but was really Judges chapter 9. So we want to keep in mind, what I'm trying to establish is the fact of what makes a Christian fruitful. Commitment to Christ. And we are seeing three illustrations of trees, which really speaks of individuals who says, I want to stay where I am because this is the place God has placed me. This is the place I will bring blessing to the Lord. I often say, brethren, that I would like to be sent by the Lord than to go on my own accord. Because the Lord said to Elijah, get down to the brook Cherith, because I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. It's there he wants me to be. And I tell you, it's always a challenge for me personally. I want to be at the place where God wants me to be. If I'm going a place, I want to know that the Lord is sending me. To go on your own, you are on your own. When you follow God, believe me, you will be bold as a lion. Chips, let the chips fall where they may. But you know what God wants for you. What he wants to guide your life. So these three trees decided, I am not leaving my position because this is where God has placed me. But how do you get there? How do you get to these convictions? It is found in Psalm 1. Let's turn to Psalm 1, please. These are familiar things to us. Verse 2 and 3. He says, but his delight is in the, read verse 1. Blessed is the man, or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth a fruit in its season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You wouldn't like to be a tree like that? Would you like to be a tree like that? You know, when we bought our home here in Clark, and a gentleman came, he says, you know, that tree is dying, and that one is dead. He says, cut it down before the hurricane comes. Advice. Good advice. He says, if not, it'll fall on your house. No, here is good advice. Scripture is given to us. You want to be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters? Well, then after, let God's word, read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. Imagine you will be a person of distinction. You will stand out. Not because of your outward look. It's because of the character you bear. It will reflect Christ. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. That's God's word. And it's up to you to say, is it true? Look at men who have served the Lord and see what has become of their lives. How they stood and their life shone for God. Young men, Titus, Timothy, Silas. But 2 Timothy chapter 4. When he presented, the Apostle Paul presented and said to Timothy, now, you know, do the work of an evangelist. You know, endure hardship as a good soldier. And he encouraged Timothy. Then Paul looked back at his life. And he says, listen, commit thou to faithful men who are able to teach others also. That's a real race, brethren. Paul run his leg. And he passed it on to Timothy. And Timothy passed it on to faithful men. And faithful men pass it on to others. They run right around the track. But there was a young man who dropped the baton in chapter 4. When the apostle is now presenting such a glorious end to his life, as it were, coming in, as it were, with a world record, everybody stand up in the audience, in the stands, and applaud him. No, today, you know what they do? They have lights around the track to see if you are really beating the time that was there before. And people just stand up and applauding. You could imagine the Apostle Paul leaving this arena, leaving this part of this fight, and now committed to Timothy. And Timothy is seeing he is going off the scene. And Paul saying, I've fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now it's for you to carry on, Timothy. And he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. I tell you, it cheered my heart when I came and I see Fred there. And sit down. Because a lot of my friends know the place to be from. But to realize, Fred, brother, you was at the tree. You was at the water. Nothing could hold us but Christ. Okay? So let us turn now quickly to the book of John, chapter 15. Verse 8. In John chapter 15, it's speaking about abiding in Christ. It says in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. What a blessing. This tree by the rivers of water was abiding. Let us use that. Abiding. What it means to abide. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Any branch that abideth in me shall bring forth fruit. And he gone here to much fruit. As we abide in Christ, we get all the sap from him. No, some people believe this is soul winning. This is, you are reflecting the moral features of Christ. And I tell you, this cheer the heart of God. This is what God is looking for. It cheers the heart of God at the banks of the Jordan. When God saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, and he looked at that life, he says, "This is my beloved son in whom I found all my delight." What a fruit. What a life. For heaven. Man don't appreciate Christianity. He was like a root out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness. That people desire him. Don't believe this world is going to embrace us. But I tell you, your life is going to be a testimony. If you are abiding in Christ, you will be fruitful. You will be fruitful and bring forth fruit for the honor, glory, and praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians. Going back to that verse. And 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that ye abound in the grace also. I speak not by commandment, by what occasion, for the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to bring to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing, he was telling them, and he says here to, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that which he hath not. For I mean that not that other men be eased and you burdened, but be ye equally, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply of your want, that there be no equality. Now, why I read those verses is sometimes you have to, how to put it? You have to press on people the importance. No, I'm using the application, not of giving, but to read God's word. How can we force this upon you? One brother used to say, "Brother Brian, if there was a pill, I would put it in water and make you drink it." But that is not how it works. It works by desire. It works by commitment. If I commit myself to Christ, and I commit myself to say, I am going to read God's word, I'm going to occupy myself with the things of Christ, I'm going to be a good Christian, that desire is good. But we need performance. We need a performance. We need to spend some time with this. And I going back to the cry of the trees, come. Come with us. You have to say, I'm not coming. So then after you say not coming, on what grounds? I am not going to leave the place God has given to me. What is that place? Mr. Fig, hey, come. I'm not going to leave my sweetness. Likewise, one came and he says, come reign over us. And he says, no, I'm not coming. Why? Because I share the heart of God and men. No, what are you saying, Brother Brad? This is what I'm saying. Look at Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. You look at the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. You look at Paul in Acts chapter 9. You look at Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. These were individuals whose lives were transformed, whose life came under the authority of Christ. And they had never been the same. It tells of the Ethiopian, he went down to Ethiopia rejoicing. It said of the Apostle Paul that when the Apostle Paul's eyes was opened, he went into the synagogue and he preached immediately that Jesus was the Son of God. When you think of Cornelius, indeed, when Peter preached, he says, you know, God is no respecter of person. Indeed, but he is sent the message to those also in Europe. And they came, and this Cornelius got saved, he and his household. When you come to the Philippian jailer, he was rejoicing with the Apostle Paul. This is what Christianity does. It changes lives and it brings joy. It brings a commitment. But where it starts with knowing Christ as my Savior. But then, indeed, I got to eat this life. This life that I have received, seek the source from whence it comes. And now it tells us, desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. We are getting real. I don't want to use the word challenge. We are losing ground. Because very few of us reading this book. If you see a struggling Christian, it's because he's not meditating on the word of God. And he's not like the tree planted by the rivers of water. You have to decide what kind of life you are going to live. You have to decide, do I want a joyous Christian life? Do I want to be like Psalm 2 verse 3? Do I want to be like the Philippian jailer? Do I want to be like Cornelius? Do I want to be like that man in Acts chapter 4 when he got saved? He was leaping and praising God. Now, I'm not telling you to jump around the meeting, but all I'm saying, there is a change that takes place when a person surrenders to Christ and says, listen, not I, but Christ. The Apostle Paul came to this in his life. For me to live is Christ. Ask. Go and ask Sister Jones or Sister Georgie. If you have to live your life over again, what you will do different? Ask Brother Thompson, if you have to live your life over again, what will you do differently? I will tell you what I'll do. I'll want to be born into a Christian home. I will want that. I will want a godly father and a godly mother. But God didn't give me that. God brought me in. Save my soul. Change my life. Stop the madness. I tell you, the privilege some of you young people have, people are dying for. And because of a lack of appreciation And the lack of the place you have been brought. Lack of the place, lack of appreciation from God to say, oh God, you make me an olive tree. Wow. You make me a fig tree. You make me a vine. Look where you put me. Look where you put me. One, Chuck Berry was telling us last weekend. He says, came from a family of 11. He was in the middle. And his mother telling him about Christ. And he said to her, listen, I don't want to hear about this anymore. Tell me nothing about Christ. And he jumped on his motorcycle. Brother Thompson was there. Jump on his motorcycle and decide he's going. 5 minutes after, car going 70 miles per hour, knock him off his bike. And a brother in the meeting, come and look down and see him. He somehow changed his mind. He changed his mind. Listen, I want God knock me off no bike. I know God throw me down off no car, and no car run over me for me to catch myself. No, I just want to read God's word. I just want to be honest. I just want to be committed to Christ. Because sometimes, truly, God have to wake up Christians and said, listen, get up and wake up. You have been blessed. But the curse is that you trample under your foot the blood of the Son of God. Do despite to the spirit of grace, like the children of Israel. Is God amongst us? All we have is this manna. All we have is Jesus. Need something more. What kind of tree you will be? What kind of tree you are going to be? I tell you, we'll see it. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaves does not wither. No, I'm getting gray. It don't mean outward. It means there is a freshness. There is a vigor. There is a commitment. And there is, when it says, I'll say this, sit down. It said of Caleb, when they made him walk around 40 years in the wilderness, and he came back in, he said, no, Joshua, I spoke to Moses and I asked for that mountain. 80 something years old. Now even Biden, they tell he too old. Trump too old. When God working with a man, he picked up Moses at 80 years old to bring the children of Israel into the wilderness and through the wilderness into the land. When God is holding your life, I'm telling you, an 80-year-old who lived for God, look at an 80-year-old who lived in the world. No comparison. No comparison at all. See, you see God's preserving hand. But what I'm saying, look at Caleb. At 80-something, he says, give me that mountain. The giants up there, let them come. I'm going to take care of them. It's like he's rolling up his sleeve. He says, okay. He says, look out. I'm coming. This is the attitude. This scaredy Christian business. I don't know where it comes from. Indeed, you face reality and realize we are not winning. The battle has been won. And all we have to do is enjoy the spoils and the victory. Indeed, Christianity is that of which is victory every day. I'm not saying we are not going to have trials. I'm not saying we are not going to be sick and we're not going to go to hospital and we are not going to go see doctors. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying, the attitude needs to change. The attitude of looking at life and saying, listen, why should life defeat me when the king is on the throne? The king is on the throne. We need young men and women who are going to say, listen, you could show to me how much media you want. But I'm going to keep my eyes on Christ. And I'm going to live by the rivers of water. And hear what the scripture says in closing. Going back to Psalm 1. This will be true of you. Okay? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, brethren, rivers of water speak of the Holy Spirit. Okay? That bringeth forth his fruit in its season. Seasonal. Leaves also shall not wither. It's like the evergreen. And I always like this clause. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. What a blessing. May God bless you. May God cause his face to shine upon you. Give you peace. No retreat. No retreat. We are going forward and we are going to claim all the blessings that God has given to us. I beg you, brethren, live in the good. We are in the best dispensation. Live in the good of it. And don't let no one rob you of the joy that God has given to you. Stay where you are. Abide. I tell you this, stay in the assembly. Stay with God's people. And you are going to reap the benefits down the road. A tree don't grow up in a day. Okay? So just plant right there. And you are going to look back and say, it was good advice from the word of God. Let's close in prayer.